Good morning. Can you hear me if I speak like this?
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Our first Advent candle is signifying hope. At least that's what I've prepared my talk on today. So I'm hoping that's correct. And I'm, in a sense, in a deep sense, I hope to bring fresh hope to all of us through what I have to say. Life brings challenges. We're all hoping for various things, aren't we? Some of us are desperately hoping that something is going to work, or that some news will be good, or that there will be some way out of a situation we're in. A lot of hope, and I want to see how we can connect our very human need with the provision that God makes from his heart to ours. I want to talk about human hope and Christian hope, and how to keep hope alive. So, human hope, Christian hope, and how to keep hope alive. Human hope. I've just been practicing. Oh gosh, no. That's a real problem, isn't it? So Crispin is better at that. Human hope. Yes, actually, some of us need to cross our legs sometimes, don't we? Human hope. My visual aid is the human hand today, by the way. So, human hope. Fingers crossed. Someone appreciates it, which is good. Samuel Johnson, commenting on the sudden remarriage of a friend of, or a person he knew of, whose wife had just died after a very unhappy marriage, and the person got married again very quickly. His comment was, "The triumph of hope over experience." So sometimes hope is a matter of some cynicism. Sometimes hope is a matter of superstition. People somehow hope that if they touch something made of wood, then things will work out better. It's human hope. And human hope is also something about the future, but it's not here yet, and we just kind of hope. Hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, but always to be blessed. The soul, uneasy and confined from home, rests and expatiates in a time to come. Alexander Pope. We know the first few words of that quote, don't we? But it's a poet saying that actually hope is not really here. It's over there, and we can never quite be sure. That's human hope. Cross our fingers, hope for the best. And as humans, we all have hopes, and God has made us that way. And it's not wrong to have hopes. It's not unspiritual to have hopes. But I want to talk about a transformation of hope through the heart of God, through our heart, and see what new light it makes being a Christian. So let's read our passage today, which is Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 18, and going through to chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. It's okay, by the way, starting in the middle of a chapter and moving on to the middle of another chapter, because the chapter divisions and also the verse divisions have been placed by our forebears to make life easier for us, but they're not part of the original text of Scripture. So Romans 4, verse 18, talking about our father Abraham, who's the great pioneer of faith. But interestingly, hope is ascribed to him in this passage. In hope, against hope, he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. So God had promised that even though he was a very old man, he was going to have many descendants, and he believed God in hope, against hope. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. So why does the Christian hope not produce disappointment? Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts and is still being poured into our hearts. That's why we can hope and have positive expectation. The Christian hope is confident expectation of good based on God's promises. I'll say that again. I'm going to ask you to say it, so listen carefully. Confident expectation of good based on God's promises.
Confident expectation of good based on God's promises. That's the Christian hope.
That's what the Bible means when it talks about the Christian having a hope. And how is that possible? It's possible because we accept the fact that God pours his love into us, and therefore everything that he has planned for us, everything that he's doing for us, is good and full of blessing. Everything. Everything can lead to blessing, even though it may feel difficult. That's God's promise. That's our hope in every situation. How can we see it? We can only see it to the extent that we perceive that God's love is coming into our heart. And that's what makes the difference. Here's a circumstance that we're worrying about. Here's God's love coming into our heart. And that is what transforms our view of the circumstance. If we have that sense that God has chosen us, is loving us, is pouring his love into our hearts right now. You've heard the triad, faith, hope, and charity. Paul says, these three endure, faith, hope, and love, or charity. But the greatest of these is love. Why is it the greatest? Well, trust, or faith, is based upon our understanding of God's love. For me, when it's a heart belief. If I believe with the heart that God loves me, I'm going to trust him. So faith is based on love. When I look at future events, or if I look at the meaning of something that's happening now, This is where hope comes in, because hope is an expectation. Because I trust God, therefore this thing that's happening now, or this thing that I'm contemplating in the future, is going to have a good outcome. That's hope. So, trust or faith is based upon my understanding of God's love. And hope is based upon my faith in God's love. I therefore, when I contemplate my future, I know it's going to be good. I have a confident expectation of good based upon God's promises. So faith, love, and hope. Difference between faith and hope, Christine was asking this morning. What's the difference? You see, faith is about a constant, settled attitude for now. Hope is about what I'm expecting in the future. Now, there's a huge overlap between faith and hope, but if there's a distinction, it's to do with faith is the attitude, hope is the expectation. Faith is about God with me now. Because of that, I'm expecting something good from God in the future. And I'm expecting that what he's going to deal with, what's going on now, is going to be good. I have to remind myself of that when I get frustrated, which is not infrequent. Or when I get angry, which I confess to you is also not terribly infrequent. Perhaps I've got more time to get angry about things now I'm retired. I don't know. But would you like to put your hand on your heart? We have five fingers on each hand, unless circumstances have altered things. As you place your hand on your heart, just contemplate that God has poured his love into your heart. And as you breathe, be aware that your heart is surrounded by your lungs. And every time you take a breath in, you're drawing air into your lungs. It's going straight to the heart also. And God's love, as you breathe in, you can imagine God's love is coming into your heart. And as you breathe out, you can send that love anywhere you want. I send it to other people sometimes. I think of Christine, I send love to her. But you know, that's not actual nonsense, it's actually scientifically based. Because our heart, our physical heart, has been designed to respond to emotion. And it adopts a certain rhythm when we breathe steadily and focus on a positive emotion, like, God loves me, or I'm so grateful for what God's done for me. Or, I forgive that person for what they did to me. Or, I care deeply for that person. Those kinds of emotions. When we're breathing steadily, thinking about the heart, actually the heart adopts a certain rhythm, which then can have an impact on people around us. And can actually connect with people that we're loving. And actually we can send it to every cell of our body if we want. And that's also scientifically demonstrated. You can send God's love, receive God's love as you breathe in, and send it to every cell of your body, which is good. So, but a hand has five fingers, at least mine does, a thumb and four fingers.
And let's just see, our hope. Before we come on to that, just say one or two things about the Christian hope. What is Christian hope? Confident expectation of good based on God's promises. Because God is who he is. Jeremiah 17 verse 13 says, O Lord, you are the hope of Israel. So even in the Old Testament, God was their hope. Paul was standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers in Acts 26. And in 1 Peter 1, it says, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So do you know that your hope is a living thing? You can feed it, or you can starve it. I want to tell us how we can feed our hope, this living hope that's inside us, connected with our heart. Our hope is a source of joy. Do you know, one of my most amusing and yet poignant memories from childhood is when my uncle Hector died. He was a member of a strict Baptist church. Their doctrine is that
God has chosen, elected some people to be saved. You can never know whether you're one of the elect or not. Very sad doctrine, isn't it?
Yes.
Because my father overheard a conversation between two people at his funeral, at the Uncle Hector's funeral. Well, it's good that he's with the Lord now. Oh, we can only hope so. Did you know that you can more than just only hope that you're going to be with the Lord?
Yes.
Or only hope that your present circumstance is going to somehow be all right? As a Christian, actually, we can be certain that God loves us, God has chosen us, that we've responded and received his love. Don't have to only hope so. And in fact, Proverbs 10 and 28 in the Good News Bible says, the hopes of good men lead to joy. Now let's repeat that. The hopes of good men lead to joy.
Barry
is the one who has the most profound fulfillment of that. The hopes of good men lead to joy.
So actually it's good to have hopes because God intends that they would lead to joy, whether you're a good man or a good woman. And Romans 15, the prayer at the end of Romans says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So God's intention is that actually our hope, which is our expectation of good, is going to produce joy and happiness and satisfaction in our life. So how can we keep hope alive? Coming to our third point. So there's human hope, there's Christian hope. How can we keep hope alive? Hand on our heart. Remember, hope is a confident expectation of good based on the promises of God. So I want to put your hand on your heart and say, I have a confident expectation of good.
I have a confident expectation of good based on God's promises.
The thumb. And I toured through the scriptures, looking at dozens and dozens of references to hope, so I could come up with a scriptural framework of how we can maintain our hope. Point number one, speak encouragement to my soul. Did you know that you've got a soul and you can talk to it? Did you know that David says in Psalm 42, which is that same psalm that begins with, as the deer pants for the water, you may have sung it in the last half hour. Goes on in verse 5 and in verse 11, twice in the same verse. It says, why are you sunk down, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now that's interesting. Is this guy schizophrenic?
He's talking to his soul. Or is he integrated? And he's choosing the words to talk to his soul. You know, I talk to my soul, but it's not very nice words sometimes. You stupid person, why did you do that again? Not very helpful, is it? David is choosing to talk to his soul, and he's saying, be encouraged. Now, in my best moments, I do talk to my soul, but usually I forget. Because it's our soul that becomes discouraged and afraid and despondent. That's our soul, our mind, if you like. And actually we can talk to it and say, soul, wake up. Soul, you can expect good. Soul, God is on your side. And I remember one time I was feeling quite discouraged and I turned on Classic FM and immediately it was said, be still my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That was talking to my soul. So you've got a soul and you can talk to it. What words do you usually say when you talk to yourself? That's an interesting question. It's healthy to talk to yourself. But it's only healthy if you say healthy words.
Well, speak it out loud as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The sign of madness is not, it's not that you talk to yourself. The sign of madness is what you say to yourself.
Yeah.
That's the proof of madness. If you tell yourself that you're a failure or tell yourself that it's all going to be awful or
tell yourself that you're worthless. That's a sign of madness, because that's going to lead to being down and sunk down, which is what the psalmist is talking about. So think of your soul as a part of you that needs encouragement. We've all got this soul that tends to get discouraged and tends to see the negative side of things. So we need to talk to it and encourage it. It's called compassion. It can be compassion to yourself. It can be compassionate to your own soul. It's actually true. Do you know, as Christians, you don't have to attack your soul and tell it how awful it is. You need to encourage it and tell it the truth of God. That's really so important.
So that's the thumb. It's the thumbs up of speak encouragement to my soul. So talk words of encouragement. That keeps hope alive. That's what the verse says. Why are you sunk down, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So you can tell your soul to hope in God. It's very scriptural. Secondly, the index. It points to important things. It points to the word of God. Because Romans 15 verse 4 says, through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. Job 23:12 says, I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, more than my prescribed portion. And Hebrews 10:23 says, let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So, second thing is to treasure and speak the words of God. Perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures. So, encouraging hope in my heart. So, let's just remember that. Put our hands on our heart. And the thumb is about encouraging our soul, telling the soul to buck up and hope. Secondly, the finger is pointing to the great source of truth and God's words, which is recorded in the Bible. Biblical truth. Tell ourselves biblical truth. The second way of keeping hope alive. Thirdly, the long finger. Now, I'm aware that there's various obscene hand gestures, and I want to be very careful. If I put the hand up like that and ask which finger is pointing straight upwards, I think that's okay, isn't it? That's the middle finger is pointing upwards, because the third aspect of hope is we look upwards because Jesus is returning. Amen. We cultivate a joyful anticipation of the return of Jesus. That's the way to keep hope alive, because our hope as Christians is partly about how God's going to help us in this life, and it's also about the fact that we're confidently expecting Jesus to come back. Titus 2:13 says, we're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our great God and Saviour. So the point there is, what does it mean looking for the blessed hope? It means that we take time to meditate and ponder on the fact that Jesus is coming back and how wonderful that's going to be when he is here and where we're with him. And to take time to do that and focus on it. Important. Jesus Christ is our hope, says 1 Timothy 1 verse 1. And 1 John 3, beginning of 1 John 3, when he appears, we'll be like him because we shall see him just as he is. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So that focus on the return of Jesus is going to motivate us to keep close to the Lord. So there's the three things so far. There's the thumb, which is about encouraging my soul. The index finger, which points to the word of God. The third finger, which talks about looking up because Jesus is going to be coming back and making everything right. And the fourth key that I found on the ring finger, we persevere because we can confidently expect good. We persevere. 1 Timothy 4:10, we labour and strive because we've fixed our hope on the living God. Fixed our hope on the living God. And in our own passage, Romans 5, 3-5, tribulation, so that's the trials that come to us, brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. Proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So perseverance. I have a ring on my fourth finger, on my left hand, which is a symbol of perseverance, isn't it? Is it not? It's a symbol of an endless relationship. It's a loop, it's a ring, but it's got the name of my beloved inscribed inside it. It's got, this is a rather special one, we bought matching pairs in Geneva, wasn't it? And it's got an outer ring and an inner ring, and the outer ring is two different colours of gold. It's really quite special. But that's my reminder about perseverance, a promise I've made, a promise I've received, on the fourth finger. So fourth finger is that keeping hope alive requires perseverance. So I want to encourage anyone who's persevering through something. You're on a project that's taking a long time, or you've asked God to do something and he hasn't answered it yet, or you're praying for someone and they haven't come to the Lord yet, or something is hurting and you're wishing God would either take it away or give you more strength to cope with it. Perseverance. God designs challenges so that we become stronger. And that's what produces hope, provided that we see that it's his love that is supporting us, provided that we realise that that's his intention. So,
thumb, I will forget these things myself, won't I? The thumbs up for my soul, encourage my soul, have compassion on my soul. The scriptures, index finger points to the scriptures. The middle finger, pointing upwards, Jesus is returning. The fourth finger, perseverance, keep going.
And the little finger, what can I find for the little finger? Inspiring hope in others. You know, one of my greatest roles as a doctor, which has now come to an end, he says with a rue smile, hasn't quite come to an end, because one of the things that I did as a doctor still continues, which is to maintain hope in people who come to me. One thing I never said to a patient was, there's nothing more that I can do for you, or there's nothing that can be done for you. Always encouragement. Always there's the hope of a better cure or a breakthrough. Always there's the hope that it may not be so bad. Always there's the hope that you may get very good treatment. Always there's the hope that maybe they made a mistake and it's not as bad. And always there's the fact that God is with me, whatever the truth. So inspire hope in others, the little finger. Some people, some others that we see are very fragile. They're needing a word of hope. You know, I kept a diary at the beginning of this year about good things that happened to me. It was a kind of discipline at the end of each day to think of three good things that had happened. In the end, I stopped doing it because I was writing rather somewhat trivial things. I should probably have kept going, because actually we need to rejoice in the trivial things. But what I found was that the things that I most value are words of encouragement from other people. And they're the ones that I occasionally write in my diary now, because actually they're the ones that I treasure most. Words of encouragement from other people. Spontaneous words of encouragement. And that's the challenge for the fifth finger. Charlie Brown, there's a cartoon which Charlie Brown says, "Someday we will all die, Snoopy." Snoopy says, "True, but on all the other days we will live." And apparently there's a great story behind the origin of this Snoopy and Charlie Brown stories. Of the author was something of a failure, and he decided to kind of make some good out of the fact that he has been a failure, and he therefore produced these cartoons which have the theme, in a sense, of human failure or human discouragement, but being perked up by a positive response. So there's a good example of turning a weakness into something that was a strength. for other people.
So there's the hand on the heart. So as we're breathing in and remembering that God's pouring his love into our heart, and the hand there, remember those five ways of keeping hope alive. In other words, transforming our experience of circumstances in the light of God's love, in the light of the fact that God is with us and intending good. So the thumb, we talk to ourselves. Give ourselves a good talking to. Open our mouth. Stephen, stop that. I have a wife who's very good at that. You know, I tend to say negative things about myself, more than I do about other people. That, maybe that's a bit of a virtue, I don't know. But she is very good saying, Stephen, no, that's not true. I don't accept that. So let's all be the person who can stop people damaging themselves with their talk, but even more, not damage ourselves with our talk. Number two, keep our relationship with the Word of God, the Bible, active and alive. See it as a source of living words, not just as a source of dead information. Number three, look up, because Jesus is going to return. He's going to make everything right. There will be injustice. There will be incomplete business in this life, in this world. But he is coming back. He's going to make everything right. And that sometimes is the only thing we can hold on to. Fourth, the commitment, the ring finger. Perseverance. Keep going. Keep going. And fifth, the little finger. Think of other people. Maybe our misfortune is a way of opportunity of blessing other people, or getting alongside other people, or giving us compassion to feel what someone else is feeling. Who knows? So, hand on heart, there's a message for all of us. So just take a few more breaths of God's love. You breathe in. Just remember this fact. God is pouring his love into our hearts right now.
A few words about hope. So, it's not...
This is a fact of life. Well, discouragement is a fact of life, but this is not enough. This is not enough, but this is a great deal more.
Oh, let's just say a prayer before Christine comes back. Father, thank you that your presence brings hope. Your presence transforms our experience of life. Your presence transforms the way we see things, transforms what we hear. And thank you. We bring to you every situation right now that we are bearing or coping with or having to be hopeful about. We place it into your hands. We place it at your feet.
Or place it in relation to you in whatever picture we have of you. Allow yourself to form a sense of the presence of Jesus or the Father or the Holy Spirit, and allow yourself to give that concern, that care, that worry, that fear to the Father, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. Notice that he accepts it. Notice his eyes of love as he receives what we entrust to him. Notice the love that he pours toward us. Receive it in our hearts. We thank you, Father. You care. You walk with us. You never forsake us. And you make us a light that can even shine on others. Thank you, Lord. These things are true. We declare what your word says. In Jesus' name, amen.